Greetings, Mr. and Mrs. Middle America, and all the ships at sea. This is Ian Punnett on Coast to Coast AM, and to the hostile. I suddenly forgot the line. Line, and there's nobody I can yell line to. Nobody knows the line. To the hostile invading alien. I can't remember the line. Never mind. You know what it is? It's been this kind of a crazy week for me, and I'm capping it off here on Coast to Coast AM. And I'm looking so forward to tonight's guest. Dr. Lee Spence is an opportunity that has been generated by a story that I read from the Weather Channel at weather.com a couple of weeks ago. Intrigued by, and so far, and I mean, it's easy to use the word mystery. It's a mystery for now, but there is an unexplained shipwreck right now sitting in the bottom of the ocean. There are video images available from it. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a minute. But the what is there, what we can see of this, does not tell us what it is or who put it there. Yikes. I've always been fascinated by underwater UFOs, right? The idea of something that is an unidentified submerged object. I'm not saying it's alien, but just like things that we can't figure out that are on the bottom of the ocean. Like who brought it? Who made it? How did it get there? And there's lots of those. In fact, there was a story on coasttocoastam.com, I think back last August, about a particular type of ship that they had it had a dome on it. And it had these unusual sort of steel structure things that were undergirding it that had come out. They were off to the side. And the thing about it that was the coolest was that they had determined that all of the coral and all of the sea life that had gathered around this thing, which had yet to be determined, I don't know if it's ever been explained since, that coral life had already been determined to be 5,000 years old. But they can't figure out what it was underneath it that started. I don't know. I love stuff like that. So we'll get to Dr. Lee Spence coming up next hour on shipwrecks. So we'll talk about shipwreck. The new shipwreck technology is fascinating. The ways that they're using satellite imagery to find new shipwrecks. And despite all of the technological advancements that we have, how limited our knowledge is on what is lying at the bottom of the ocean and how to get to it. We'll talk about that with an expert next hour on treasures, submerged treasures. And we'll get your calls coming up later on. But this hour, we have an opportunity, a little time for open lines that, if it's open lines, it means you can take us anywhere you want to go. However, there are a couple of stories on the website tonight that I would love to get your reflections on. If you've been to coasttocoastam.com. I'll tell you more about that in just a second, but I'll tell you this much. Should we be worried about 2006 QV89? Should we be worried about 2006 QV89? What exactly is it? Other than it sounds like a cable channel that I probably never visited way up there, right about where they put the those music channels nobody listens to. 2006 QV89 could be coming our way this fall. Should we be worried about it? My vote's yes. I'll explain why next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. All right, so we're going to do open lines, but you don't need me to give you the numbers. Most of you, it seems, already know them by heart or know which number applies to you most. You're certainly welcome to use it between now and the bottom of this hour. Next hour, we'll get to Dr. Lee Spence, and we'll be talking about the mysteries involving shipwrecks, what we do know, what we don't know, the latest technology, and in particular, this mysteriously numbered ship that has yet to find an adequate explanation in terms of its origin and why it is where it is, too, for that matter, but coming up next hour on Coast to Coast. If you go to coasttocoastam.com, though, there's a couple of stories I want to get to that I think will shape open lines for the rest of this hour. Now, you know, at the top of the hour, sorry, at the top of the screen, when you go to coasttocoastam.com, there's something we call the carousel. A lot of websites have carousels where they just, you know, they have some stories that they put up there that they're kind of rotating through, and they'll automatically rotate if you stay on the web page for a period of time. And so Dr. Lee Spence has some images up that are kind of cool. You can find out more about some of the things that he does just by even looking at those photos. But then go to the next one, because this is something else too, which I mean, this. I don't want to call it an elf. I'm not even sure why it gets called an elf. But there's a video of something that's up at it was on a Facebook page that a woman had posted. She caught it with her home security camera. She says there are two other angles of the home security camera on this one like parking area, and neither of those two cameras picked up anything. So we just have to kind of take her word for it on that. And I don't know whether, you know, this is all a big hoax. That's kind of the fun thing sometimes is figuring out. And we're kind of an easy show to hoax in a way because we approach things with a much more open mind on Coast to Coast than a lot of other radio shows would. But it's still a creepy image, and I can't quite figure out what it is. But if you go to the story, it's coasttocoastam.com on a strange elf captured on security camera. And then if you've got if you've got an offering, if you think you know what that is, let me know. Now, on the other, if you keep going through the carousel, there's another story about this one coming from Google Maps. And those are kind of cool because anybody can go find them, right? These Google Maps images, a lot of them are created on purpose. People had a tip off that they were going to be driving through the area with the cameras on, so people put on little plays and stuff in order to be immortalized on a Google map. And I don't know, there's, you know, all these different anomalies. I don't know that this one is all that exciting, but it is kind of cool. It is sort of this eerie face that popped up underneath the bridge. It could be a million things, not least of which an eerie face. When I was a kid, there was a bridge not too far away from my house. Back in the day when, you know, kids were kind of kicked out at 9 o'clock in the morning on their bicycles all day, and then, you know, given a sack lunch and a backpack or whatever, and then we were told to be home by 5. Back in that era, there was a place we used to meet. It was called the Nude Lady Bridge. This is north of Chicago along the railroad tracks, and there was a it was somebody had painted a nude woman, not a very exciting or interesting or erotic or anything. It was just like this, like somebody had a brush and they had nothing to do, and so for 5 minutes they painted a naked woman. But you know, this was pre-internet and we were 10, so for us it was a big deal. And I think back at it now, it looks like a cave drawing, right? But you know, so people do weird things under bridges. Maybe this is just one of those weird things under bridges, and there's nothing more to find out more about it than that. But then two space stories I want to get to then, and then we'll get to open lines on Coast to Coast AM if you want to take us through the bottom of the hour, because I think there's something important about this QV thing I mentioned to you in a moment. But first, they are doing the space tourism. When I say they, meaning NASA. You know, these announcements come out periodically, and they will say, like, they have certain private organizations or say they're proposing or they're taking, and we know that some people are already obviously gotten paid to ride into space, and that, you know, this they were using this as a fundraiser for the Russian space program. But NASA is going to be opening up the International Space Station to tourists. And that story is at coasttocoastam.com. The price tag for that, by the way, depends on how long you're going to stay. So it's 50 million reportedly. If it's facilitated by SpaceX and Boeing, 50 million for a ride up to the space station. And then once you're there, it's $35,000 a night. So, you know, it kind of makes sense. If you're going to pay 50 million to go somewhere, you don't just turn around. You don't make that like a weekend jaunt, like you're going to, going to Boca or something like that. You gotta take, it's not, this isn't like a timeshare where you're gonna kill some time because you got points you built up or something. You're gonna have to really spend some money. So I'm imagining people will be spending more than just a night or two, but $35,000 a night, and the 50 million on top of the $50 million price tag. They're not throwing it in, along with the package deal. And then, as long as we're talking about space, I want you to go down to the story at coasttocoastam.com about this asteroid that has a 1 in 7,000 chance, a 1 in 7,000 chance of hitting us this fall. Now, let's just kick that around for just a second. 1 in 7,000 chance. The asteroid's name is 2006 QV89. And I'm going to read you the story from Live Science. Laura Gegel is the associate editor, and she wrote, "The space rock is expected to whiz by our planet on September 9th, 2019. And there is a chance that we could have a small collision," right? I mean, there's just a chance. Out of 10 objects on the list, there is a list, according to the European Space Agency's list of space objects that could collide with Earth. This is ranked at number 4, but it hasn't gotten a lot of publicity. And 1 in 7,000, to me, I think are pretty, those, depending on how you look at odds, are either very low or very high, right, in terms of a probability. You compare this to the 6-mile-long asteroid that killed the dinosaurs about 66 million years ago, and this is a very small little thing, right? It's about 130 feet in diameter. But we also don't know what it would do quite, depending on where it would land. So it could land in the ocean and fine, but it could hit a lot of places and do a lot of damage. And 1 in 7,000. I just want to bring you some perspective on this. So if we look at this in terms of like the ways in which we prepare for disasters, okay, is the probability, the possibility that you could get killed in a plane crash, right, are 1 in 11 million. But think about how much time and energy we spend as a society, both in the United States and globally, to prevent that kind of a crash. And not only that, but how much energy we spend making crashes survivable. So there's still like a 95% chance or something like that of passengers surviving a plane crash should it happen. But that's because it's we put a lot of thought into those kind of odds, and we think, well, that we can't let that happen. So, right? We have to stop. We have to do something about that. Same thing about getting struck by lightning. This is the time of year when I'm already now. Granted, I live in Tornado Alley now that I live in Kansas, in Manhattan, Kansas, at K-State University. Well, I don't live at, you get the idea. But this is something which now there's a lot of people are preparing again for thunderstorms. We spend a lot of time warning people about thunderstorms. Why? Because over your lifetime, you have a 1 in 3,000 chance of getting hit by lightning. So if this asteroid hitting us is 1 in 7,000, shouldn't we be talking more about it? Shouldn't there be a bigger conversation? I mean, even dying in a tornado itself, for all of the national alerts and all of the time that we spend on this very same radio station that you're hearing Coast to Coast on, you'll be hearing tests for the emergency alert system. And that's only because you have a 1 in 100,000 chance of dying in a tornado. So you get the idea. It seems to me that if getting hit by a meteorite is 1 in 3,000, then we should be a little bit more worried about being hit by an asteroid at 1 in 7,000. But let's do some open lines before the bottom of the hour. Anybody know what that elf thing is that's on the video that we posted at coasttocoastam.com? I'd love that, but anywhere you want to go with the show, that's fine. Robert is in Fairfield, Illinois, east of the Rockies on Coast to Coast. Robert?
Hello?
Hey, yeah, you're on Coast to Coast.
Oh, hey,
Hey.
Ann. years ago, I was given some information, and I can't corroborate it, and I've been trying to find somebody that could actually give me some information, solid information, on a project that was done in 1967 down in Jacksonville Naval Air Station in Florida, that supposedly the CIA and the Navy colluded to inject newborns' brains with some kind of an enhancement drug, and that the TV show Fringe is actually loosely based on that real project. I've been told that it is called the X-Men Project, and that there were 20 newborns in the week that I was born down there that were injected in the right hemisphere of their brain, and they skipped a week, and then the following another week, they injected another 20 into the left hemisphere of their brains. Now, I know this sounds way over the top.
No. It sounds like something from MK Ultra.
And I just, if there's anybody out there that has information on that, I would sure appreciate it.
Well, it sounds like something from MK Ultra. So I mean, the whole MK Ultra thing, that whole project was so wide. You know, they were doing all sorts of things, right? And that was right around that time. So 1967, still, I think that would still be a very likely hit. If that story is true, then right. That would seem, because that was the whole mind control era, right, where the CIA was right. involved in trying to do that. I would think that if it's anything, it probably falls under that. Have you looked much under MK Ultra? Have you read much about it?
Not much yet, but I'm on. You know, it's definitely on my list of things to read about. But what's weird is this woman seemed very well versed in all this, and I said, "Where are you getting this information?" She goes, "I can't tell you."
Right.
You were one of them in that. And I was
right.
born on the early in the morning on Wednesday, so I would have been the ninth subject, you know, four each day in that 5-day period each week.
How do you feel different than other people?
Yeah.
How?
Is in the TV show Fringe.
Yeah, I don't care about Fringe. I don't want to talk about Fringe. I don't want to get it mixed up with fiction, right? Because that's the easiest way to lose track of the horizon line of truth. So, all right. So Fringe, you know, some writer in LA heard about this and wrote about it. Fine. But how do you feel different? Because it's true that you've had some sort of
strange and supernatural things happen to me over the years, more than I could count on my fingers and toes.
But how would that relate to the injection?
Well, I don't know. I have certain mental abilities, you know, and had out-of-body experiences since I was 10 years old. And when I was 8 years old, I started having dreams that would come true in a few weeks or a few months.
So prophetic dreaming, and you have, would you say you have psychic ability in your conscious state, too?
I'm a highly amplified empath, and I have healing abilities. I've actually laid hands on people, and they've recovered from things that weren't physically possible, like a compression fracture in one of the vertebrae. Vertebrae went back to normal.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
It never happened. Things like
no.
that.
Well, see, now, here's why I say this is, Fringe be damned. The lady at the end of the bar that told you that story be damned. If you can do those things... That's the only proof you need, right? You don't need to find somebody that. Yeah, but I mean, maybe the whole thing is just, again, get yourself tested, and really see what you can and can't do.
Well, the reason I have the biggest problem with it is, it seems to me that I was the subject in that experiment that was chosen to be tested to destruction. I mean, I've had a rotten, nasty childhood, and it wasn't just my parents, it was my teachers and other people in the community. It's just like I could never win. And I mean, people.
Well, that I'm sorry about it. Maybe this is a part of it, and let's leave it there for now, Robert. But I like that idea though of you putting it to the test. Let's get it outside of speculation, and let's, you know, find somebody, find a local university. I don't know what's near Fairfield, Illinois, actually, but. You know, find somebody that's willing to give you a test and see what you can do, and then start there, and then find out whether there's something different, biochemical, do some brain scans. That's the way to do it.
Be protected from gunfire, too. I don't know why.
Well, I love that idea, and the Army would love to know it, too. So thank you, Robert. Appreciate that. Let me go west to the Rockies, where Paul is in San Francisco on Coast to Coast AM. Paul?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. It's open lines, but I've thrown out that image of the elf. I don't know if anybody has anything they want to explain.
Well,
on.
You know, actually, my ex-wife lives near the Rockies, And one year I came over to visit because we have a child together. And she showed me an interesting photo that she took of her garden, specifically the flowers in her garden. She couldn't see it with the naked eye, but she spotted right next to the rosebud what looked like an old man with a white beard, white hair, white pointy hat. And
like a garden gnome.
I'm not even going to venture to guess what it was. Okay.
Right. But I mean, it sounds like a garden gnome, like the thing that people buy at, like, you know, nurseries and garden centers.
Okay. So anyways, so she can't believe what she's looking at, and she's looking directly at the flower, but she can't see it with her naked eyes. So she starts laughing and she starts talking to him as if she could see him. And then she snapped another picture.
All right, hang on to that. We'll find out what happens. You go on hold. We'll come back there. We'll get the rest of that story in just a moment. Then we'll give you all the numbers you need for open lines. It'll take us up to the top of the hour. And then our guest, Dr. Lee Spence, we're going underwater on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. We'll be in a nautical theme throughout the bumpers tonight for our guest, Dr. Lee Spence. We're talking about mysteries of the deep, shipwrecks in particular. That's his expertise. And we'll be talking about this one particular shipwreck, which as of right now is a mystery. But there's sort of a mystery, too, on aspects of that song, Sail on Sailor, which is one of my favorite Beach Boys songs. I don't know about you, but it's also one of the weirdest Beach Boys songs because there was a time in the Beach Boys' history when they were kind of desperate to get another hit, and they were kind of throwing a lot of stuff against the wall to see what sticks. And that the lead vocal on that track isn't anybody. It's like the only lead vocal, I think, done by an African-American on a Beach Boys record, I think. Maybe, no, actually, he was African. He wasn't. There's a guy named Blondie Chaplin, they tried like five other people to sing that song, and nobody could do it. And he stepped up, and I think it was the bass player at the time for the Beach Boys in the studio. But other people claimed later on that that was them. And it was like, wait, no, it can't. It's that guy. There's a long history of lawsuits involving who wrote the song too, for that matter. It's fascinating. I don't care in the end, it's just a great song. So we'll get to your open line calls in just a second, but we got to wrap up a call from a guy in San Francisco who is telling us about his ex-wife and a garden gnome that might inform the video that we posted at coasttocoastam.com about an elf. Go take a look at that. I don't know. Whatever that is, it's giving the creeps. But I'd love to know what you think it is and or wherever else you're going to take us for open lines coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Well, I guess we'll never know what happened to the garden gnome after the second photo. Paul in San Francisco dropped. Unfortunate, because I was really enjoying the story. We just ran out of time before the bottom of the hour. Let's go. First-time caller Carson is in Washington State on Coast to Coast AM. Carson, trying you again. Washington State, Carson.
Hello?
There you go.
Oh.
Hey.
So, I saw the picture of that elf thing. That thing's weird looking, but
it is creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy. So about what I was calling about is about 2 months ago, like to the day. I was sitting outside with my family, and there was this huge, don't know how to explain it, like almost like a sonic boom from like a jet almost.
Okay.
Because the Canadian Blue Angel guys, those guys will fly over the border sometimes to do practice. And it was like...
They say fire over the border. They don't mean firing at us, right? We don't have to worry about it.
No. They're like a stunt team.
Got it. Okay.
They'll fly around.
I just want to show I missed a story about some Canadian invasion going on. Okay, fine. So they occasionally they'll fire off some mortars and you guys heard them on your outside your house.
But... Yeah, no, we just heard this really loud boom, so we were kind of confused. We just thought maybe it was like a jet or something.
Right.
But we were looking around on the internet trying to find something, and it was and we were like, huh, that's kind of weird, because it wasn't like a normal boom. It shook our house.
Yeah.
And it was heard across our whole county. So
why do you think it wasn't a sonic boom from a jet?
Because it was just... we've heard it before because they'll fly over our house and stuff, but the
right
the alarming noise, just the noise of it, and how and the how like you could feel it like in your gut.
Yeah.
And just the whole house just shook, and we were like, we were just kind of confused, and we were looking around.
And you found other people that experienced it too online. So what in the end did anybody determine what it was?
No, no one determined what it was, and about 2 days ago, it happened again.
Ooh.
Except this time, it broke a window in my house and knocked, a whole bunch of paintings off my wall.
Huh.
And all my neighbors reported it. There were some people like in the next town over, reporting it.
How old are you, Carson?
What?
How old are you, Carson?
I'm 19.
Okay, so kudos for you for having paintings on your wall, which is great. I love the idea. I hope you should. I hope you track that. And that's a decent. I mean, I'll pitch it to you. That's a decent news story. If have you contacted any local journalists and told them about this?
Yeah, no. It was all in our newspaper and stuff, and we just couldn't. No one could figure out what it was. Everybody was asking law enforcement. It was like almost like journalist mayhem. It was everywhere.
I accept that. So
figure out what it was.
So we have about 20 minutes left here of open lines. Maybe we'll get lucky. Maybe somebody will know. Better keep listening. Thanks, Carson. Appreciate that. Wildcard line. Thomas is in La Jolla on Coast to Coast AM. Thomas.
Hi, Ian. Greetings, and it's always a pleasure when you are the guest host and when Gina Salvati is the screener.
Yeah, she has her own following, doesn't she?
She does.
Yes.
I wanted to say...
No, let's dwell on that for just a second. Of the many women and men who have answered the call, to answer the call at Coast to Coast AM, I would say Gina is the one whose name comes up the most often for me. And people ask me about Gina.
For me also.
Yeah, I'll put you on the list. All right, Thomas, go ahead. What were you calling about?
Well, anyway, a comment. Coast to Coast AM has a prayer list. And we know that the prayer list works. We know that prayer works, particularly for protection. And my suggestion is, Ian, is that we put planet Earth on the prayer list.
We weren't already? Yeah.
And, you know, why not?
Well, this is a great suggestion. The official deacon of the show. I will get to work on that, and I will assign whoever is necessary to make sure that happens in the program coming up. So when we're doing the prayers of the people, we'll do the prayers for all the people, and we'll throw Earth in there on the way. Good suggestion. Thank you, Thomas. Dave is in Roswell, the other Roswell, Roswell, Georgia, on Coast to Coast AM. Dave?
Hello.
How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to call in. I'm going to lay myself out there, throw everything on the line. I graduated from Duke in 1999, and I think I'm either Maitreya, Messiah, or John the Baptist something.
Oh, well, when you said you're going to lay it all on the line there, I thought you were going to tell me that you love me, and I was going to say...
I do.
I thought you were going that direction with, I'm just going to put it out there.
Kind of, I'm sure that there's going to be some embarrassment and ridicule and whatever like that, but I want to start a conversation.
How do you want people to start, what would be the conversation about, whether you are or whether you aren't?
Yeah, or whether it's not even just me, it's actually my whole life. Details of my life. It's like God is dunking on us. You know, it's like
God is dunking on us is a bad thing, right?
Yeah, sorry. I mean, I know this sounds like the plot of a Beautiful Mind, but I think it's pretty organized.
Okay.
Through all of the numbers in my life and things in my life that, you know, have indicated or are pointing toward that. Like one of the examples is my great-grandfather's name was Sinclair Sinclair, and then I'm not going to say the last name.
That's cool. It's kind of like Duran Duran. You're kind of right.
So, I know from all the, you know, the Dan Brown stuff that that's one of the names that's supposed to be important.
Wait, you're not quoting Dan Brown, are you?
The author of the Da Vinci Code
would not be like what we would call a credible source.
Sorry, for your divinity. When I was about 20, I read what that's based on, that bigger book, that 500-page book or whatever.
Yeah. Okay, then in the time that we have, so if you are the Messiah, is it that's what you're?
But it's not grandiose, you know. It's a lowercase Messiah, small M Messiah. I didn't do anything.
Okay.
You know.
All right. Well, yeah, then you're officially on record. I hope that we'll be tracking your miracles coming up, because God knows we need one. So. Thank you, Dave. I look forward to following your exploits in the Gospels yet to be written. Wildcard line, Michael is in Greensboro, North Carolina on Coast to Coast AM. Michael?
Oh, hi, Ian. Yeah, what's up? And first off, I love Donna as a call screener, too. No offense.
She's wonderful. You know, they're all great. I mean, but nobody asks me what Tom Danheiser wears, right? Nobody has ever asked me what Tom Danheiser looks like, but I do get that about Gina. So I'm just saying.
Oh, wow. Well, I remember the first time I spoke with Gina, I was living up in Western Pennsylvania at the time, and she was from a town called Weirton, which is near there. So we were talking about, it's an old concert venue. It used to be called Star Lake. It's called something else now, but it's the concert venue right on the West Virginia, Pennsylvania border, you know, Yeah, they used to have concerts for the Pittsburgh metro area all the time, so that was pretty cool.
Well, we call in the business an outdoor shed. That's what that's called for a big concert venue like that. Those are cool. So Michael, not that calling Gina, knowing that she's running the phones, isn't enough, but was there something else you wanted to throw in here on open lines?
I wanted to ask you, with you being a college professor and all,
yes.
I mean, this is just my take on this. I could be wrong, but it seems to me like I've heard from a lot of, you know, baby boomers and older generation, there seems to be like a growing split between like the millennials and like the baby boomers. And, you know, I'm just hearing a lot of the baby boomers just really putting down the millennials. And being, you know, you're a college professor and all, what is your take on that, being that you work around young people so often?
It's a really interesting question. And let me just say, the big split is really if we're to look at these things generationally, and even there, when we talk generationally, we're talking these really broad brush strokes, right? So it is not true for everybody. There are just tendencies within age groups. And millennials are, we mark them differently because they grow up in an era where they essentially have only known the internet. And they have only known certain things which other generations previously had to sort of adapt to, right, or adopt. So that's kind of one of those things about millennials that's interesting. They also have a very different worldview in terms of the collective. And they look they're less individualistic than Gen Xers, which means that millennials have a lot more in common with baby boomers. And baby boomers and millennials tend to get on very well. Generationally, and again, broad brush strokes here, lots of exceptions, but they tend to not jibe as well with Gen Xers, who a lot of millennials find to be a little too jaded. The latchkey generation, the forgotten generation, the Gen Xers. So there are some things that are true. We have to be careful about certain things, I think, when we teach in general, but that's only one factor. The millennial factor is just one thing that goes into what we call the pedagogy of how we teach. But yeah, there's some characteristics that come up from time to time. Maybe unlike any other generation, it's important to lead with the positive. If you're going to be offering feedback, it's important to lead with the positive with millennials. That's about it. There's no real big rift in terms of like they hate baby boomers, except for certain things that they resent baby boomers for. But I think that's because Gen Xers are more like baby boomers than they want to admit. So sometimes we get hooked by the thing we're most like. Let me go to a first-time caller line. David is in New York on Coast to Coast AM. David?
Hello. How you doing?
Good. You're on Coast to Coast AM, open lines.
I saw my first UFO Saturday morning about 3 a.m.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Man, I couldn't believe it. You know, I've been so skeptical about it all my life. I've never seen one and I actually saw one. So,
where'd you see it?
In Manhattan. I live in New York City in Midtown. It was around 3 a.m. Saturday morning. I just went by my window and looked out, and this large, bright light was out there about 100 yards across the street. There's like blue and green lights like swirling underneath it. And
you and John Lennon. Remember, John Lennon had one of the most famous New York UFO sightings, and spoke about it regularly. So, yeah, Google that. If you don't know the story, Google John Lennon UFO Manhattan.
And, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that.
You'll be a good category. Yeah. West of the Rockies. Rick is in Bakersfield, California, on Coast to Coast. Trying to get to everybody before the top of the hour. Rick,
how you doing?
Doing right.
Long-time listener. I just want to chime in on that kid from, where was it, Canada?
He was from the Washington State area, yeah.
Washington State, okay. Well, here in Bakersfield about 23 years ago, there was a knucklehead who was making bombs in his van. Caught up to him one night. He tried to set the van on fire. He exploded the van.
Oh, no.
Whatever explosives he had in there, we were a block away. It happened like 3 in the morning, but we didn't hear the explosion. But we were laying in bed awake, and all of a sudden you felt that concussion wave come through.
Sure.
And it shook the entire building. You could hear this audible, like a low-pitched humming noise, and you could feel it pass through the building and yourself. Like he said, he felt it in his gut.
Right.
Yeah, so I bet you it was some kind of concussion from an explosion.
Really, you know, I'm so glad you brought that up, because we tend to look for the most extraordinary instead of doing Occam's razor and look for something like some knucklehead who's just blowing stuff up. So thank you, Rick. I appreciate that. Let me go to Viola on a wild card line before the top of the hour, and we're joined by our guest tonight. We'll be talking about shipwreck mysteries. Viola on Coast to Coast AM. Viola, you're in Utah?
Yes, I am.
All right, so I've got a few minutes here for you.
Okay. Last week you had told the guy that when he had written a book on his life to give you a call, so I am giving you a call to tell you that I have written an autobiography. I grew up in Northern California in a commune, and it was on the Seabiscuit Ranch where, you know, Charles Howard with the
famous Seabiscuit.
On a 16,000-acre ranch, and had a little bit of a dealing with Jim Jones and the People's Temple.
So have you published your manuscript yet? Do you have a publisher yet?
Yes, I have.
Tell me about it.
You can get it at Amazon, and it's entitled My Journey to Truth, with a subtitle of An Honest Look at My Life. And you know you got the right one when it's got a old locomotive train going up a canyon with a fir tree in the center of the cover with a little white butterfly right next to it. And there's a stream coming down the right side of the book.
I will take a look at it myself tonight, but then the next step is for you then to have your publicity people contact the Coast to Coast producers and make sure they know about it, and who knows. But I'll take a look at it tonight, just even on my own. I'll look it up on Amazon later on. Give me the title again.
My Journey to Truth.
Okay.
An Honest Look at My Life.
I will do that. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. All right. So I think it gives us just one more call, and I know, let's see, I think who's been hanging on longest, do we think, so I can get the person who's been standing, but Aldo in San Antonio, you got just a minute here, but we'll squeeze in as best we can. Aldo,
how you doing? Third time on your show, great show.
Thank you.
I want to talk about a UFO that I saw here. I was driving through LaGrange, Texas, and it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow.
And I look up and I see this like oval shape, and I thought it was like a weather balloon at first. But I tried to catch up to it, and it went through a cloud, because I followed it for about 15 minutes.
Hmm. And well, you know, it's in a weather balloon if it makes any kind of sudden moves one way or another, generally, right?
It was just going like straight, and I knew it was real. It went through a cloud, and it just disappeared.
Well, we'll have to leave that there, but that's very interesting. Always fun to hear. Take photos and make sure you post them at coasttocoastam.com, which is how this conversation started, on a website photo, which we'll get to next with Dr. Lee Spence on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett.